Blog Talk Radio.
Today, part one of the shoulder. Now, this is hugely underestimated and missed, okay, by most healthcare professionals. The ignored causes. Number one, neurogenic. If you've got compromised nerve supply in the cervical spine, and this is virtually 100% of shoulder injuries that I've seen, you've got to address the nerves that supply that shoulder. Vascular. If that head is malpositioned or forward, you're compromising the blood supply that comes out of the opening to the thoracic area. And then mechanical distortions of the thoracic, because that shoulder has one bony attachment, the clavicle, and 18 muscles that guide it up and down the shoulder. So that thoracic area is deviated or not, you know, from some past trauma, you've got to address it. Now, when we look at this, you've got the nerves, the brachial plexus that comes out of the base of the spine. Now, this comes out of the neck. So if there's any cervical problems, you're altering the nerves that supply the area. Why is that important? You compromise the nerve supply. You compromise the integrity of the tissue. And the most important in this glenohumeral joint, the commonly that humerus will subluxate anteriorly. That humerus will distort the labrum, and that humerus is held in this socket, and the socket in real human beings, because I've done lots of human dissections, it feels like microwave Tupperware. So it's thick, but it's also has this pliability to it. Now, if that labrum is distorted because that humerus is misaligned because the rotator cuff is off, you're going to have a problem with that glenohumeral joint because it's going to literally distort the socket that it's in. Now, the primary function of those rotator cuff muscles is to suck that head of the humerus in that socket. And if there is a weakening of those rotator cuff muscles, then, and this is from the supraspinatus, is the most commonly affected from forward head carriage. And that will also compromise the outlet to the thoracic area. So when you look at this, the picture on the left is a cervical spine that has 34 millimeters of forward head carriage. Now, it should be balanced. Now, for every 1 inch of forward head carriage, the pressure on the disc doubles. You're also going to see in this picture one of the most common, it's not really a mistake. It's when a surgical fusion is done, they're supposed to fuse that in the natural curve of the spine. I know that seems like basic common sense, but I rarely see it done. It's usually fused in a straight, and you can see this one is actually fused in a reverse configuration. It's not involved in the natural curve. Now look at where the supraspinatus is. It's literally at the very topmost. So if that head is forward, then that's going to be the first one injured. And the supraspinatus does the first 15 degrees of abduction of moving that arm out. Now, the supraspinatus goes over, along with the subscapularis and the teres minor, is designed to hold that head, that humerus, inside of that socket. Now, when you look at the labrum is thick, but it holds that in the socket. But also, if that supraspinatus is missing, then there's a superior force placed on that GH joint distorting that labrum. And you're going to see movement where normal movement is the shoulder stays straight and then abducts. In the distorted labrum, the shoulder is going to come up and then move. And that is a completely distorted labrum. So you've got to reform the labrum, and you've got to restore the nerve supply, blood supply, and the mechanics. Now, look at the structures in here. Now, the clavicle has been removed, so you can see the brachial plexus coming out, the blood vessels coming out and in. So if that head is forward, you're going to massively negatively affect the blood supply and nerve supply to that shoulder joint. So forward head carriage is the number one thing in all shoulder injuries, because if that neck is compromised, if there's a lateral deviation or forward head carriage, you're literally shutting off the blood supply and nerve supply to that shoulder joint. And that forward head carriage, remember, you've got the blood supply in that thoracic cage. and the thoracic cage is incredibly tough. It's designed to protect the heart and lungs. But if that head is forward, you're compromising the blood supply that is leaving that thoracic outlet. And that's why they call it thoracic outlet syndrome. Now, the syndrome is not just arising from, or not just going to be involving the upper extremities. It can also involve the chest, the shoulders, in between the shoulders. It's just all of the brachial plexus, the nerves that supply the wrist, the hand. This is why they used to teach that carpal tunnel syndrome, golfer's elbow, tennis elbow, rotator cuff problems were all considered double crush injuries, where the impingement begins in the neck and leads to an imbalance of the muscles of that, but it also leads to a compromised function of that area. So it is vital that when you're looking at the narrowing of that outlet to the thoracic, this compromises the nerve supply and blood supply to the supraspinatus and the other muscles of the shoulder. Now, these nerve impingements are setting the person up for chronic shoulder problems until the cervical curve is restored. When you have a patient with shoulder problems, make sure they focus on correcting the underlying cervical problem in addition to treating the shoulder directly. You cannot treat just the shoulder without addressing the blood supply and nerve supply to that area. Now, the reason the humerus almost always subluxates anteriorly is because that deltoid muscle that runs over the top of everything always has a superior force forcing that shoulder up. But luckily, if that labrum is stable and it's in the right position, then it's designed to hold that. But you also have the pectoralis muscle in the front that pulls it forward. So the main job of those rotator cuff muscles is to maintain that humerus in that fossa, in that labrum. This is why you'll almost never see posterior inferior displaced humerus unless there's been a dislocation. And trust me, when I've had two sons who have been playing paintball a lot, okay, I've seen a lot of shoulder dislocations. Now, the deltoid is always pulling up on that humerus. The rotator cuff is forcing that head of that humerus in that socket. And it runs fantastically. This is a brilliant design. But look at the force loading on that. Everything is designed. Those rotator cuff are designed to suck that head of the humerus in there, even though the deltoid is always pulling up and the pec is always pulling forward. I mean, brilliant design. Now, the most common lesions or injuries to the labrum are going to be a slap lesion. And this is a superior tear. And you can see the biceps, part of the biceps, attaches to that edge of that labrum. So every time you're flexing, as long as that head of that humerus is in that fossa, it's going to be stable. It's fantastic. And then you have bursa sacs all around. And the bursa sacs are filled with bursa fluid, which is a superfiltrate of blood. And they're designed to cushion that impact. Now, if you have forward head carriage, you're choking off the blood supply to those bursa sacs. And those bursa sacs are designed to break down that friction, to make it easier so you can continually move it and not have an issue. Now, if the fluid is not in that bursa sac because of forward head carriage, or because the body's in a stressed state and the blood becomes thicker, then the fluid can't filter into there, and then the bursa sac starts to rub, and that irritates it, that damages the tissue, so it inflames. That's where you get bursitis. Itis means inflammation. So it's from the blood not flowing to that joint, not overuse. If you compromise the blood supply or nerve supply, you're altering the function. Now, a Bankart lesion is an injury where the shoulder goes forward, okay, and it's due to that shoulder dislocating, and this is anterior and inferior, and this is common in people that are walking a dog, and the dog pulls and drives that forward. Also, in a lot of the things in paintball or certain sports, where that shoulder is extended from the body, and then you drive down or throw your body forward or backward, it can dislocate that shoulder. Now, when we look at the Journal of Shoulder Elbow Surgery 2005, subacromial impingement, that's below the acromial area, It's the role of posture and muscle imbalance. So forward head posture. Quote, the literature suggests that postural deviations associated with forward head posture follow distinct patterns involving an increase in the thoracic kyphosis angle and a downwardly rotated, anterior tilted, and protracted scapula, which in turns lead to increased compression of the subacromial space. So they're even saying that you've got forward head carriage that's the primary leading cause of the instability that shows up in the shoulder. So the things that you cannot do, absolutely no end range motion of abduction, of extension, of flexion, until that labrum gets stabilized. And in fact, during the exercises, I tell people, look, no overhead lifting. I mean, you could brush your hair and things, but no overhead lifting or force loading on it until we reshape that labrum. No shoulder rehab without cervical and thoracic correction. Obviously, because if that shoulder or you have an increased kyphosis, you're angling that scapula, so it's going to be unstable. You must correct the forward head carriage before the shoulder rehab. No ice on chronic shoulder injuries. The ice will decrease the inflammation, absolutely, but it's also going to decrease the blood supply. And if you have forward head carriage, you already have decreased blood supply. This is why we recommend putting moist heat on there, because if you put heat on there, moist heat, the wetter the better, the deeper the penetration when you're talking to heat. And that allows an increased blood flow, and that's going to increase the blood flow of the production of the bursa fluid and the synovial fluid in that shoulder joint. Now, eliminate a lot of the drugs that they give to reduce the body's ability to heal, such as non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Those drugs will make you comfortable, but they also inhibit proteoglycan production or the building product of the cartilage, and that is not good. And this is the most insane exercise if you have a distorted labrum, because in normal range of motion, the shoulder should be abducted like this. But when you have a distorted labrum, the shoulder comes up and then moves out. And if you're going to move this shoulder up in a full range of motion with the distorted labrum, you're putting force on the damaged portion of the labrum, which is that superior part. It's insane. Now, the solution. This is the solution for all shoulder injuries. Number one, you've got to get a static and stress x-ray of the cervical spine and static x-rays of the thoracic spine. You've got to identify the structural deviations forward head carriage. And the reason I say stress x-ray, that means you're going to extend that neck to see if, like in that one case I just showed you with the cervical fusion in there, you've got to do an extension exercise or x-ray to see if those joints are still viable. And if they are, beautiful, then you could restore the curve. Even though in that surgery case, that a couple of the segments are fused and they're not going to be moving, but you have to address the area above and below that surgery site. Balance the labrum exercise with the cervical curve restoration. So while you're restoring the curve in the neck, while you're correcting the thoracic, you can start to work on that labrum to reform that labrum around that humerus. Now, obviously, proper nutrition. You got to get the appropriate supplements. This is why we recommend collagen, why we recommend omega-3s and vitamin C, which are both have anti-inflammatory properties, which are different than the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. See, inflammation is how the body heals, but that inflammation creates free radicals that can damage the healthy tissue. So the antioxidants, such as vitamin C and omega-3s, will deactivate those free radicals and allow inflammation to work. That's another reason why we recommend moist heat. Inflammation is healing to the joint. Eliminate the prescriptions that are toxic to tissue regeneration. Then deep sleep. Sleep is when the body regenerates. And once that labrum is stabilized, then you can begin stretching exercises. Not full range of motion and abduction and extension. No, you've got to reform that labrum first. And that only takes a couple of weeks if you're restoring the nerve supply and blood supply by correcting the thoracic and cervical issues. So this exercise you have to do while you're correcting the cervical spine. Now you need to take a weight, a big enough weight to open up that shoulder joint. And then you're going to move it very little. The palm is placed forward. And what that does, that rotates the head of the humerus in that labrum. And then it opens up that joint. So you're dropping that humerus down. And then you move it very little. Just, I say, butt to belly, butt to belly. And this is only about 5 to 10 minutes. Very, very simple. And you want to do both arms. So you're going to move one forward, one back. But you have to have enough weight to open that up. 10 pounds is enough for a very small frame person. 5 pounds would be good for a child. But 20 pounds is pretty much standard for the average full-grown muscular male, because you've got to get enough weight to pull that down. And talk to your chiropractor or who's ever working with you. They have to pull on that arm and feel that arm open up that socket so it's repositioned in that labrum. And just very, very gentle. And this is going to start to reform that labrum. As long as you're getting the cervical curve and correcting that forward head carriage, you're restoring the blood supply, nerve supply, and you're creating a force load so that labrum can now form around the head of that humerus and maintain the stability. This is why when we talk about the five keys to health, proper nerve supply, obviously that's important when you're talking about upper extremities, especially the shoulder. Regular exercise, and these are ligamentous exercises. So we're reforming those ligaments, reforming that labrum. Proper nutrition. Again, you want the antioxidants, the fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, omega-3s. Sufficient rest. Rest is when the body regenerates. And then prayer and meditation. And I'm telling you, look at every study in the world. You add prayer, healing occurs rapidly. And figure 100 years from now, 500 years from now, they're going to know that your body's more energy than matter. So prayer and thought process is brilliant. God bless you all. Stay healthy, my friends.